Welcome back. Remember, if you bought a house anywhere but Santa Barbara, you didn't pay enough. Bjorn Kollerud is an economist working for RDN, local company, stands for Robert D. Niehaus, the owner. And he was on in 2019 and 2020. We discussed their extensive studies on the aftermath of the Montecito debris flow of 2018. But they do a lot more. We'll find out a little bit more about the company and today's topic. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Bjorn Kollerud.
Thank you so much, Mark. It's great to be back on the radio with you.
Well, last two times you were in studio, but for some reason Richard does not like you and he refuses to have you come back. We have not had a live guest. I don't know when that's going to happen, but we're still waiting. Well, actually, you're live now. You're just not here.
That's true. I miss coming back into the studio with you guys. It was always a good time to be with you there. But I don't miss having to speak into the microphones and being the proper distance away. That was always quite challenging.
Yeah, it is. It is a little something to learn. You did fine. And here's, before we jump into your company and the topic, here's a coincidence. You were on February 10th, 2020, and you told me that we got into your last name and your dad was born in Norway. And it happened that the guest the previous week was city planner Rosie Deisty, who for some reason said her grandparents were born in Norway. I don't know if you remember that story.
No way. No, that's crazy. I had no idea.
But here's what's even crazier. She again was on last week,
later. Oh, my gosh.
So are you dating someone? Maybe I can hook you guys up.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe there's some sort of planning going on you guys got going back there.
Norway. And I've been watching Vikings on Amazon. Have you seen that program?
I have not, but everyone tells me about it all the time. So I feel like included. I feel like I've almost seen it.
Taking place starting around in the 9th century or the 10th century. And I just finished two seasons of Marco Polo, which was more like the 12th century.
Okay, almost back to the present day then.
So yeah, who knows? Maybe I'll... Actually, nothing... I like the past. I like the past better than the present. Tomorrow, too. I wouldn't mind tomorrow. So tell me, Robert D. Niehaus started a company, RDN. Give us a little thumbnail sketch of what RDN does.
Sure. So we are an economic consulting firm based in Santa Barbara, and we provide professional economic and financial consulting services to California utilities, state and local entities, and also the federal government. So a few of our main services include survey research. We do rate and fee consulting for California water agencies. And we also do housing market analyses for the Department of Defense.
Now, not for the Department of Housing.
Not for the Department of Housing, no, for the Department of Defense.
Well, and we're going to discuss why and what you do with that. That's interesting. And generally, municipalities, private corporations, they want to know what you think so they can plan what? What is, so they know where to spend their money, where not to, where to build?
Yeah, exactly. A lot of it. So if we're talking in the context of housing market analyses, we are doing these for military installations. So essentially what we're trying to do for these studies is analyze the supply and the demand of the private housing market around military installations. So the key question there is, will the private sector supply of housing be sufficient to meet the demand for the military personnel that are going to be stationed at a given installation over the next coming years? So when we answer this question, we can essentially estimate the number of on-base housing units that should exist on an installation to ensure that there are suitable living conditions for military personnel in the community. So essentially, these installations want to rely on the private sector for housing as much as possible. And then this on-base housing is kind of meant to fill the gap. So essentially, what we're trying to do is figure out how much of that there should be for planning purposes for these installations.
You know, it's critical, but yet I'm sure a lot of people never even thought about how someone needs to plan and research this, and because it's a big deal. And of course, it brings to mind another television program I watched, this time on Apple Plus TV, called For All Mankind. Did you see that?
I haven't even heard of it, no.
Well, it involves NASA and not so much the military, but NASA and similar to military and where they're living came to mind. But it's kind of a quasi-historical view of man's race to the moon, but they kind of shift it around, and it's a kind of a conflict between the Soviet Union and the United States starting back in late 50s, early 60s. It's kind of it's very good. I would recommend
it. It's awesome.
I would recommend
it. Sounds great. I'll have to add it to the list. I really appreciate all the recommendations when I come on the show every time. I feel like I have a whole list of stuff to check out after we talk.
Yeah, Will, you got some homework to do. My guest is... yeah. Is economist Bjorn Kollerud, working for RDN, Robert D. Niehaus, local here in Santa Barbara, but working throughout the world and throughout the country. And so this housing market analysis for civilian and military households, you know, I've never really, I've been to Lompoc, but I've never been to the Air Force Base, whether you can even go. And I imagine, do you ever do anything for Lompoc?
So for Vandenberg Air Force Base, I've never worked there. We recently did a study for Ventura, which is kind of that more Point Magoo area. So, but yeah, just like you said, you know, all these bases are restricted access typically. So, so part of our time going out there is we travel to these locations, you know, whether they're close like Ventura or farther away, and conduct the analyses around those installations.
Well, something like Vandenberg, of course, they've been there forever, so I don't think they would actually probably need to do something unless they wanted to expand or do something. But
that's actually an interesting point. So a lot of these are just routine studies. So a lot of these are conducted on 5-year cycles. It depends on the branch, the military branch, but they're routine cycles so that there's kind of this way to compare apples to apples across all installations. So even though if there's not any big planning going on, a lot of installations will conduct these on a regular basis. So kind of at a broader level, they know where this kind of funding should be allocated.
Oh, that's interesting to keep track of what's happening. Yeah, the market changes. They build new properties, or they don't build any new properties, and maybe the staff increases. So that's very interesting. Yeah, Point Magoo. Now, where else, personally, where have you been?
Yeah, so I've been on the road a lot lately. This year I've been in Arizona, South Carolina, Kansas, Georgia, Detroit. And then we also do trips internationally as well. That's been a little bit slowed down because of COVID. So before COVID, I was on Guam and also in the Netherlands. Had a trip to Korea that was canceled because of COVID. So we're hoping to continue those O'Connor's trips.
When were you supposed to go to South Korea?
So I was going to South Korea last May, and so it was just kind of right at the right when COVID started.
My nephew just went there, maybe around March of 2021 to teach for a year English as a second language.
Whoa.
And so but sure, things are starting to open up, so maybe you'll see some more international travel.
Yeah, perhaps we're starting to a lot more opportunities for travel internationally. There's a lot less there's talk of some of these restrictions being eased a little bit and us getting to do our work. We've had some studies, for example, in Germany that have been on hold because of COVID, and we're hoping that we can start doing some of that work here towards the summer. But we'll see what happens. Obviously, it's obviously changing a lot.
Right. So it all evolves around economic, demographic, and housing-based statistics.
Yeah, exactly. So essentially, you know, what we're trying to do is we're trying to kind of model the entire housing market over the 5-year study period. So, I mean, obviously, you're well aware since you're an expert in the field, we're really focused on, you know, both the kind of supply side and the demand side of these models that we're trying to build. Obviously, on the supply side, we're forecasting housing supply and prices. And then on the demand side, we're focused on population and demographics. So we're using a lot of, you know, GIS and census level data, so we can capture the population demographics and then also the general housing supply within the area.
Now I'm looking at some notes that you sent me, where you mentioned some trends that go into the analysis, and here you do mention that 5-year study that you do on a regular basis, and using GIS and census level data. What is GIS?
GIS is essentially geospatial data. So essentially, we can, you know, map population to certain areas based on where they are within relation to the market area itself that we're focused on. So we can overlay our data that we get from the census that, you know, that we all just filled out here recently, and which will be released coming up for the 2021 quite soon. And then we can overlay that on top of these kind of geospatial files. They're called shape files, so that we can parse out, you know, what kind of trends are happening in different areas geospatially. And that really allows us to better understand how people are moving around and what's going to be happening with the housing supply over the next 5 years.
My guest is economist Bjorn Kollerud. He's with locally Santa Barbara-based company RDN, but they reach out across the country and across the world. So you've been on the road. You go, like, I get calls sometimes from appraisers who asking me questions about something I listed and sold or something I represented the buyer and sold. And so are you reaching out to real estate agents when you go into different areas?
Yeah, exactly. That's definitely part of our process. So we spend usually about a week at a time traveling to the area, basically so that we want to make sure that, you know, kind of what we're seeing in the data and the models that we're building makes sense with what we're observing on the ground. So when we're at a particular location, we talk to a lot of realtors, we talk to property managers, we also talk to government officials, city planners, just so we can kind of get a sense of what's going on. You know, we would love to talk to realtors like you, for example, if we were to come to Santa Barbara, because we know that you are all experts in the area. And so we want to soak up as much of that knowledge as we can while we're spending time on the ground in a certain place.
I'll never forget when I first started in the business in 1988, and maybe a year or two or three later, there was a guy in the office who was a nice guy. And I remember sitting there, and he got a call from an appraiser, and he said something like, "Why don't you go out and look at the houses yourself?" And he hung up on him. He was not willing to help. I thought, what kind of attitude is that? And he didn't stay in the business too long.
Yeah, that hasn't been my experience at all. I imagine people are not going to stick around that much if that's their attitude.
Yeah.
Most people are quite friendly like yourself.
Yeah, no, it was kind of funny. It was the first and only time I ever saw that. So we talked about COVID, you've been on the road. And so I see some stats here. What is this single family homes in the Southeast region? What did you do?
Yeah, so this is kind of just, you know, talking a bit about the trends that we've been seeing lately. We've been seeing, I'm really interested to hear your take about, you know, what's going on here in Santa Barbara, but I feel like everywhere I've been has been quite similar in a lot of ways. We've just been seeing low inventory everywhere, basically. And so this has led to a huge increase in prices pretty much across the board. So, you know, if we're focused on that Southeast region we've been working a lot in lately, so going from the fourth quarter of 2019 to the fourth quarter of 2020, you know, we're looking at price increases of like 20.5% in Memphis, Tennessee, 13.2% in Corpus Christi, Texas, 10.5% in Dallas, Fort Worth, Arlington. So we've been seeing, you know, these price increases all over the place, and not just in the Southeast region too, but also the rest of the country. You know, if we're looking at 2020 compared to 2021 for the first quarter, you know, the U.S. median price has gone up 16.2% for single family homes. And this is happening everywhere we're going. And, you know, a lot of it's spurred by this low inventory. There's just so much pent up demand relative to what's available on the market. Is this kind of what you've been seeing too here in town?
Yes. I see you've got stats, Northeast region, 22%. You said California went up around 15.1%. That's quarter 2021 compared to quarter 2020.
Yep,
so I
exactly.
Just did in my first segment year-to-date stats, which is, you know, through May 7th, so a little more than the first quarter compared to last year. And from Carpinteria to Goleta, our median price is up 52%.
52%. Yeah. Wow. That's wild. So that's even more extreme. That's kind of what I've been feeling anecdotally from talking to people in town, but it's really interesting to hear you say that. That's wild.
It dwarfs these, it makes these other numbers seem pales in comparison. And even if you
and these aren't small numbers either, we're talking, you know, it's quite an extreme event that's happening, right?
Yeah. Who wouldn't complain about, hey, 15%, 20%? In if you take out Montecito and Hope Ranch year to date through May 7th, 2021, take out Hope Ranch and Montecito, the median price is still up 31%, which is double what you quote here in California's 15.1%.
Yeah, and this kind of makes sense too, though, right? Like, this is quite a desirable place to be, particularly in light of the effects of COVID. If people are able to work remotely, you know, I've met anecdotally a lot of people in town who have been able to get out of their city for some time, and you know, a lot of people want to spend their time in Santa Barbara. So this is kind of something we've been seeing a lot too. Is there's been a lot of shift in population over the last year. I'm quite interested to see what's going to happen over the next couple of years with respect to remote work and how much of it's going to go back to in person, and kind of how sticky these shifts in population are going to be.
Exactly. And you mentioned inventory, and in Santa Barbara, as of May 7th, 2021, if you wanted to look at property in all price ranges that are not in escrow, you get to select from 104 single-family homes. And last year at this time, it was 329, and in 2019, it was 423.
Wow.
And if you go back to 2009, it was 667. Today, 104. It's just beyond trying to even comprehend and calculate. My guess.
Sorry, are you busy then, or are you less busy? I mean, are you finding stuff to sell?
Busy,
or
no,
what's
busy
been like for you.
Busy. 2020 was one of my best years ever, and it's beyond belief to see what a lot of agents who are more involved in higher end stuff in Montecito. It's just Montecito is really leading the way. They're dominating. Hope Ranch, not too far behind, but Montecito especially. My guest, economist Bjorn Kollerud with a local company, RDN, Robert D. Niehaus. So any further comments about any trends, construction? Let's see. Are we ready to jump into how this has been affecting rents, or did I miss anything from...
Yeah, you know, I think an interesting part of this is, and I'd like to get your take on it too, is kind of where this is going. You know, that this pent-up demand is so strong, and at this point, you know, interest rates are so low that you know, the sense that I've been getting from people on the road has been that people think this is going to continue on for quite a while. You know, the Fed's indicated that they want to keep interest rates low for the foreseeable future. We had a pretty weak jobs report recently too, which will probably bolster their argument that needs to happen. And then also is the building cost side of it too. You know, there's the cost of commodities is just through the roof. So it's so expensive for people who are building, and it seems like it's not, people just aren't being able to keep up essentially. Have you experienced any of this lately?
I agree, and what I read, everyone is very optimistic. And in fact, there was a long piece that I printed from Realtor.com from May 3rd, 2021. And they were quoting different people, and they're, no one, you know, everyone's trying to say that the last crash in 08, you know, we have fundamentals, we don't have those issues, so that shouldn't happen. But, you know, it's a little dicey. I mean, this one guy's quoted and he says, "I find it difficult to say we're not in a housing bubble, but I find it difficult to say that home prices are going to crash." Well, what is that saying to us? I mean, you know, everything, it feels like you could say we're always in a housing bubble because we're always either expanding or contracting, whether or not it's going to burst, you know. But I mean, I keep scratching my head, and I thought the last year or two, I kept waiting for some kind of contraction, some kind of an adjustment, and it never came. And then COVID came, and it was like it's been on steroids.
Yeah, certainly. It seems like it's just keep going up and up and up. People that I've been talking to have been thinking that maybe this kind of low inventory component of it, it's the almost saving grace, you know. There's just, you know, such a restriction on it, and there's just enough demand, so people think maybe it's going to keep going. But I know it feels intuitively like, you know, obviously it just can't keep going up forever. It's a question of when almost, huh?
Right. There has to be some adjustment. I'm not saying there's something that's going to burst, but...
Sure.
Sure.
So there's one thing that's a little bit interesting with respect to like a small adjustment, is that right now there's this moratorium on foreclosures. So that's obviously not going to be the case forever. So that's set right now to expire on 30th of June of this year. That could obviously be extended by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, but the California Association of Realtors estimate that there could be 60,000 additional homes on the market once those foreclosures hit. So that's kind of one little nook that might be opening up a little bit more inventory in the future.
Nationally?
That's just in California.
Oh, just in California, 60,000. Mm-hmm. We'll probably have 3 or 4 in Santa Barbara. It's kind of tough to say, you know, and then there's the moratorium on eviction for non-payment of rent. That's supposed to expire in June. They're talking about June 15th, opening everything up, going back to normal. So that's a good point. That certainly should be a factor. My guest, economist Bjorn Kollerud from RDN. Bjorn, we kind of finished everything, but I wanted to ask a follow-up question about affecting rents, but we're up against the clock. Can we take a quick break and come back and just finish up on what you have to say about rents?
That sounds great. No problem.
I keep waiting for someone to say, no, I can't do that.
Exactly.
I've got to go.
Yeah, I got something to do. No, that sounds great.
You got 3 things to watch. Marco Polo,
exactly.
Vikings.
Yeah, I got
and
I do have a busy schedule now.
For All Mankind. I hope you wrote that down. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. We'll take a quick break and just wrap up with my interview and talk about rents, and maybe we'll have time to tell you about a castle with a tragic story.